Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ. We come to worship the one who is the source of all grace and peace. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're pleased that you're here, especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending recently. Those of us who are here week in and week out want to greet you and make you feel welcome. And if we don't get to you soon enough, you come introduce yourselves to some of us because we want to know you and we'd love it if you would make a home here with us. One way to do that is by being involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation, and you can find lots of opportunities in your bulletin insert. I'm just going to lift up a few. First of all, we are in the process of putting together a pictorial directory. The photo sessions begin this week. There are still a few limited appointment times for this week. You can find those on the board by the pictorial directory table in Reed Hall. The dates for June are June 17 through 19 and 24 through 26. And then in August, those dates will be 8 through 10, 13 through 15. And it really is helpful for those of us who are new and those of us who have been around a while if we can see the pictures of the other members. So I urge you, make an appointment, get your photo made. It just helps us all out. Our combined Sunday school class began this Sunday. It was at the Sunday school hour. It begins around 10. But if you missed it this Sunday, you can join next Sunday as well. It's called The Virtues and the Vices. It deals with the virtues that live at the heart of the seven deadly sins. And you can plug in at any time. So let me invite you, if you don't already have a Sunday school class you attend, please join us in McWhorter Hall next Sunday about 10 o'clock. This afternoon at 5 here in the sanctuary is our Tuesday service. I don't know about you, but my life gets pretty noisy and pretty busy and pretty hectic. And Tuesday is that place of rest and respite where we can sing and pray and rest in God. And if you haven't tried it, let me encourage you to do so. 5 p.m. today here in the sanctuary. Next Sunday is our all-church lunch. We'll welcome new members as well as get to enjoy the company of those of us we see all the time. It'll be immediately following this service next Sunday. And it's really helpful if you can let us know that you're coming. So if you would either email Kirk Clark or you can call the church office to let us know that you'll be here. It helps Martha prepare. Okay, now we have a problem. And it's a great problem. We have an overabundance of children for Vacation Bible School. What we don't have is an overabundance of adults to help with those children at Vacation Bible School. Okay? So if you feel God urging you or nudging you the week of June 23rd through 27, and you would be willing, especially we need helpers with the three-year-old group and our kindergarten first grade group. I tell stories for Vacation Bible School every single year. It's delightful. The kids are wonderful. I guarantee you will enjoy it. If you feel moved in any way to join in this really important ministry, please contact Becky Peeler. She will be very glad to hear from you. And quite frankly, what a wonderful problem to have. We see God in so many ways. We name some of them Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but we see God in each other and all that God has created. Let us worship the God of all creation.
as our Father calls to his children.
We come seeking his love.
As a son looks forward to their father's return.
We gather with excitement and anticipation.
The Holy Spirit welcomes and loves all.
So that we may welcome and love one another.
As we feel the Holy Spirit move within us, let us humble ourselves before our Heavenly Father and confess our sins as beloved children of God. O Creator, how difficult it is to be made humble and caring. We easily forget your teachings of the just and right relationships that we are to have with each other. As brothers and sisters in this land, we so easily forget that our responsibility carries from generation to generation for all those who are hurt and oppressed and denied their place in the circle of life, those who still need our support, who need justice and peace. How difficult it is for us to remain humble as we walk the road of life. May we find peace so that we might share peace that is genuine and real, and help others to know peace within. Holy Spirit, help us to walk the road of integrity, back to the spirit of community, where we will be truly connected by all our brothers and sisters. God is just and forgiving. Receive God's pardon and peace, knowing that you are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. one of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Anna Jean Long Humphrey and Seth Thomas Humphrey bring their son, Samuel Robert Humphrey, to God before the community of faith for baptism. Accompanying Samuel are his big sisters, Maggie, Ellie, and Annie.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. And so, Seth and Anna Jean, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, please say, "We do."
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care?
With God's help,
let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away his sins and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with you and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child? Samuel Robert, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Everybody, get to touch the hand.
Come on around. Lay hands on him.
Samuel Robert, the Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born through water and the Spirit, will be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Amen.
Will the congregation please stand and face Samuel Robert? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Samuel Robert to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
to give thanks for all that God has already given you, Samuel Robert, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
to be seated. And if there are other youngsters who would care to join us up here, you're welcome to come and have a seat up front. Here we go. Good. Come on and join us. Today's a very special day. Anybody know what day it is today? Father's Day. Absolutely it is. And as a father of two daughters, I am always very pleased when they say to me, Happy Father's Day. But this is a special day for a couple of other reasons, too. In our church, it's Peace with Justice Sunday. And what that basically means is that God wants us all to get along, not to be mean to each other, not to hurt each other, to learn to live together with love and respect, which creates peace, Peace with Justice Sunday. This is also Trinity Sunday. Now, when you heard Nancy baptize the baby just a few minutes ago, you heard her say, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the scripture, it said, go forth and baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean we worship three gods. We only worship one God. But that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit we call the Trinity. So we call this Trinity Sunday. It's kind of hard to understand how you can have three things that are one thing that are three things that are one thing, right? But knowing how hard that would be, some of the early teachers in the early church decided to use an example. Now, I usually don't carry fire down here. They usually don't let me handle fire. I didn't tell them I was going to do this. But if you look right up there, what is that? It's a candle, and right at the top of it is a flame, because that's burning, right? Now, if I were to stick my finger in that flame, what would happen? I would burn it, because it's hot. There's heat. Wait, that's two things, a flame and heat. If we took this into a really dark room, we could still kind of find our way around. It might not be too bright, but there's light as well. So we've got one flame, but we also have heat and light. A flame, a heat, and light. Three things that are one thing, that are three things, that are one thing. And the candle. Without the candle, we wouldn't have any of it, would we? So when someone talks about the Trinity, or when you hear that phrase, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you can think, we don't have three gods. We just have one God. But like the flame, we experience God in those three ways, even though God is still one. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for showing yourself in so many ways and loving us in so many ways, in the ways that we can understand. Help us to learn to get along together. Help us to be peaceful people. Help us to be people who want the right thing for all people. Help us to be your disciples. With your help, we believe we can do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. This closing passage of the Gospel of Matthew is sometimes called the Great Commission. I like to think of it instead as the Great Assignment. It's like at the end of class when your teacher says, your assignment will be, and then you know the work you have to do before the class meets again, right? Well, Jesus gives us the assignment of being disciples who make disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's not just an assignment for 1 week or 1 month or 1 year. That assignment has been around for 2,000 years, and it's still our assignment, okay? But sometimes we have a little bit of difficulty understanding this Trinity thing. Some folks from other religions even accuse us of worshiping three gods, which is not the case. We only have one God. We are monotheists. But as with the flame I spoke of earlier, we experience God in that oneness also as a threeness in three ways. Now, when I was looking for ways to try and explore this whole issue of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and every time we baptize, we use that phrase. Some other traditions will baptize simply in the name of Jesus, but our tradition, following the great assignment, is to baptize in that particular Trinitarian formula. But I was thinking about how to explore it. My mind went to my favorite book of all time, To Kill a Mockingbird. Full disclosure, it is my favorite book. I read it when I was in my early to mid-teens. It was not an assignment. They didn't assign it back in those days, at least not in the schools I attended. But I fell in love with it then and have read it numerous times between the early 1960s and today. Second piece of that full disclosure is that I wanted to grow up to be Atticus Finch. I still want to grow up to be Atticus Finch. I haven't made it yet. But as I started thinking about understanding this particular formulation of the Trinity, it struck me that the characters in this novel can be very helpful. Now, let me say what I am not suggesting. I am not suggesting that Harper Lee had this in mind when she wrote the book. This is not Christian apologetic. It is not some kind of explanation. It is not some kind of propaganda. It is a story wonderfully told. So what I'm doing is I am simply seeing things in those characters that are helpful for me, whether she intended that or not. Okay, first of all, the Father. Who's the Father? Atticus, of course. And the intimacy with which Jem and Scout know Atticus is to me signified in part by the fact they don't call him Father, they don't call him Dad or Daddy, they call him Atticus. Some of his family members see him as an overly indulgent father, letting his children run wild. Especially Scout. But we know from the story that he did set parameters. He did set boundaries. For example, you were not allowed to make fun of a classmate who came home for lunch, even if he did pour syrup all over everything on his plate. You did have to go to school, even though Scout resisted after her first grade teacher on the first day got on to her for having learned how to read already, fearing that somehow her father had taught her improperly, and could not hear Scout's explanation, which was her brother Jem's explanation, and that was Scout could read since he was born. Atticus made her go to school, but he said, you know, even though you have to go to school and learn what the teacher says, you can still sit on my lap and we'll still read at night. You have a father figure here who is both indulgent and loving and intimate, but you have a father figure here who does set boundaries, who does help his children understand what's right and wrong, what's hurtful and what's helpful. And he doesn't just do that within the household. When an African-American man named Tom Robinson is accused of something he did not do, and Atticus represents him as his attorney, Atticus gives him the full representation that he deserves. Now, this causes some consternation among the neighbors and friends, to the point that one day, Scout comes home and tells him about some of the ugly things that her classmates have been saying about Atticus and about her, using a word that I will not repeat here, but you know what it is because I grew up hearing it and you grew up hearing it as a disparaging reference to African Americans. And so Atticus explains to her that he believes Tom to be innocent, that he intends to defend him as vigorously as he would anyone else, that everyone deserves justice. You see, this is a parent who believes in justice. When Scout asks if he thinks they'll win, He says no. Then why bother? Why put all this effort into it? Because everyone deserves justice and our best effort to create a situation of justice. Who knows? Maybe in an appeal later on down the line, justice will be served. Pretty much everybody disagrees with Atticus's approach. But he tells Scout, you know, we're going to stay here because this is our home and these are our friends and neighbors. You don't have to agree with your neighbors. Don't have to agree with your friends. What we are called to do as disciples of Jesus Christ is to stand for justice and to make that witness and to do the right thing even if everyone else we happen to know disagrees. That's what Atticus does. That's why I'd still like to grow up to be him. That kind of integrity. So, for me, Atticus really shines a light on that one little word we use so easily, Father. The son's a little more complicated, it seems to me. Obviously, Jem is a candidate for the son figure, and Jem does take Scout's place. Sends her to safety, and he is the one who is harmed when Bob Yule wants to take revenge after the trial. In a sense, that it shines a light on how we understand Jesus as the one who, instead of letting us take on all the hurt of the world, stood in our place and took on that hurt and absorbed it and sent us away free. But then I think there is another figure in the book who perhaps even in a larger way represents the son, and that's Tom Robinson. See, Tom is accused of something he did not do. He is tried in a court and found guilty of something he did not do because the people in that court did not like who he was or what he was. And sacrifice justice for prejudice. And ultimately, they both died. Jesus of a legal execution, Tom under suspicious circumstances. But ultimately, they both die. And that arc of the story of Jesus is reflected in that life, and in that injustice, and in that death. Well, now, the Holy Spirit is considerably more difficult to come to terms with because you can't see the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like air. It's like our breath. We depend upon it for life, and yet we can't just look around and point to it. We can point to its effects. Sometimes we're even frightened by the presence of God because we can't contain it. We can't control it. The person who reminds me the most of the Holy Spirit is Boo Radley, that mysterious figure about whom all kinds of wild stories are told, but who is not seen until the very end. That figure who is the gift giver. That's what the Spirit does. That's what St. Paul said the Spirit does. All of these gifts that we have are gifts of the one Spirit for the good of the entire community. And Boo Radley, unbeknownst to the children at first, begins to put little gifts in the hole in a tree, and they find them there. They don't know who the gifts come from, just like we don't know at first who is giving us these gifts. But one by one, they keep them. And the final gift, of course, that he gives is that he saves Jem's life. I want to read you one of my favorite paragraphs here that I think describes neighbors, according to Harper Lee, but I think it also describes the Holy Spirit. Neighbors bring food with death and flowers with sickness and little things in between. Boo was our neighbor. He gave us 2 soap dolls, a broken watch and chain, a pair of good luck pennies, and our lives. But neighbors give in return. We never put back into the tree what we took out of it. We had given him nothing, and it made me sad. But that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. We don't give those gifts back to the Spirit. We share them where we are. There's nothing that God needs that we can give to God. And so these gifts are free gifts for us to enjoy, to use, to exercise. And then, of course, there is the presence of evil in the story. And it appears in various forms. Bob Ewell, who is willing to see a man die and to threaten the life of children, I don't think there gets to be greater meanness than someone who would harm a child. And then, of course, Mayella, poor Mayella, because she doesn't do anything out of a desire to do evil or a desire to hurt anyone. She's feeling guilt and fear and shame. And isn't that how it is with most of us? When we practice injustices, when we do harm others, it's not our intent. But this guilt and shame and fear at work in us allows us to perhaps not tell the whole truth or to shade the truth or to practice some injustice for fear of what our neighbors and friends would say. And then, of course, there's the whole system, the entire system that is rigged against Tom Robinson. The children are in the balcony where the African-American folks are required to sit. And Jim is listening to the trial, and he says to the reverend, after all the arguments had been made, we've won this one. We've got it. There's no way they could convict a man after this. And the reverend said, I've never seen a white jury vote in favor of a black man against a white. And he was right. But he was right in another respect, too. After the verdict had been given, after Atticus had whispered, in the book you don't know what he whispers, in the movie he says, we'll go to appeal. And as he walks out, the entire balcony stands. And the reverend looks down at Jim and Scout. He says, Miss Jean Louise, stand up. Your daddy's passing. Sometimes I think it's the folks on the outside who recognize integrity more quickly than those of us who are insiders. And finally, this presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a constant presence. It's with us always, whether we acknowledge it, whether we ask for it, or whether we want it. God is with us. That is the promise made again and again and again. I will be with you. I will be with you. I will be with you. And through Jesus, I will be with you even to the end of the age. Let me read you the last paragraph of this wonderful book. And if this sermon does nothing other than make you go back and read it or read it again, then I've accomplished something. Because it's much richer than what I've described. But in the very last paragraph, Atticus is sitting with Jim. Jim is asleep after having been injured. Atticus has had an argument with the sheriff about what to do because he thinks that Jim has harmed Bob Ewell. But instead, it was Boo who gave them their lives. And it ends this way. He turned out the light, speaking of Atticus, and went into Jim's room. He would be there all night. And he would be there when Jim waked up in the morning. That is the promise. God will be here through the night, and God will be here when we wake up in the morning. Thanks be to God. We tell our story in a lot of ways, and one of those ways is through affirmations of faith. I invite you to turn to number 883 in your hymnal, stand as you're able, and join me as we affirm our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world.
We live in God, who has created and is created, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope that everyone will join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table during our fellowship time, where you will find some information about the many ministries of this church. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please note if these requests are to be shared with the congregation or are to be kept confidential. Card may be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. We invite you to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the pew pad down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone that you may not know at the end of this worship service. I've been asked to remind our congregation about our congregation lunch next Sunday, June the 22nd. All the new members from the last quarter, as well as those folks who will be joining our church on Sunday, will be there. And this lunch provides an excellent opportunity to meet and greet all of our new members. And greeting new members is certainly a true joy of this congregation. Today we also offer our sympathy to several families in our congregation. We offer our sympathy to Whitson and Sandy Lowe, who are mourning the death of Sandy's father, Wayne D. Voigt, in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The service was held June the 13th in Colorado Springs, Colorado. We also share our sympathies with Libba and Jerry Crook, who are mourning the death of Libba's mother, Mary Watson, who died May the 31st in Brentwood. She is survived also by her grandsons, Paul, Matt, and Ben Crook. We also extend our sympathies this morning to Marilyn and Earl Henry, who are mourning the death of Marilyn's sister, Dr. Carolyn Northcutt Gibson, who died June the 2nd. In Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds to hear God speak to us as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. We are embraced, loving God. We are embraced by a community that is the heart, not just of our church, but also in a community that is the very heart of who you are. Three in one, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life. Within that great love, we are held and treasured by you, O God. We are mindful that you have heard our prayers before the words cross our lips. You ever and always hear our prayers. We pray for our hurting world, that war makers will find peace, that the hungry will be fed, that refugees will have shelter, that injustices will be answered with all that is right and good. We pray for all who suffer, for those we love dearly and for those we barely know, for those whose suffering we have ignored. Be present in the healing touch of all hands that help the sick and suffering. We ask that you send your Spirit to comfort and protect all who need you. We pray for all who struggle, for those who cannot see a way through broken relationships, difficult financial realities, emotional darkness, and deep, deep loneliness. May they find you even in the most hopeless places. May good news and hope come to all who are longing for something new, and may we serve as the bearers of God's grace and forgiveness. We pray for all who are joyful. We rejoice at the promise of new life and old lives made new. We celebrate the movement through milestones, births, graduations, new jobs, new relationships, the promise of something wonderful. We remember those moments of blessing in our own lives, and we thank you for the opportunity to use our lives to your glory, to live lives that are full and worthy of your calling. We bind ourselves, O God, today to the strong name of the Trinity, and we name you three in one, one in three, and claim our place in your community of love. Be with us, within us, behind us, before us, as we pray the prayer Jesus taught his friends and disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us present with joy our offerings of commitment and support for the work of Christ's church.
Your assignment is go be disciples who make disciples, seeking justice, following the Prince of Peace. And God, who loves us more than any parent, Jesus, who is our companion and friend and guide, and the Holy Spirit, the giver of gifts, who is present with us always, will be with you now and forever. Go in peace.